Praise God. How's everybody doing this morning? Good to see each and every one of you. And as sister said, we got to give God thanks even for the snowstorms, even for, you know, the things that go on in our lives that you don't care for as much, but you thank God for them anyway. Amen. There's a reason why he doesn't. We thank him for that. Now, if you turn your bulletins over, the name of this one is How to Deal with Sensitive Issues. How to Deal with sensitive. What is a sensitive issue? Well, it's going to be different for each of us. Sensitive issue is something that hits a nerve in each individual's life. It's something that means a lot to us, amen? And it's something that may be uncomfortable for me, may not be uncomfortable for you, so on and so forth, and it just goes in different ways. How do we deal with these things? Do we deal with these things? Unfortunately, we have two groups in the church when coming to deal with these. We have the one group that is going to go across and say, I got to make sure I get my point across so you understand, to make sure you understand what is right. Okay? Most time they're wrong. Then you have the group that says, you know what? Let's just keep it, agree to disagree. We'll keep it to ourselves. Let's not talk about it. You believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. That's wrong. And not only are they wrong, it's dangerously wrong, based on what the Bible has said. Now, if you just watch and look around right now, Church of God, which is all of us, everybody, we are so separated at the moment. We are so, we have this thing that has splintered us so much. And it's because we're not doing this. We're not dealing with sensitive issues. Why is that? Why aren't we dealing with sensitive issues? Well, first of all, let's understand. God does tell us to deal with these things, and we're going to go over how that works and how where we go with that. But first of all, let's understand what we are not supposed to do. First of all, when dealing with sensitive issues, we must not do it with complaining and arguing. That's never, ever. It's never a time for that. This is in Philippians 2, 14 through 17. Do everything. Everybody say everything. Everything without complaining or arguing. Did y'all catch that? I mean, even if I stop there, that names it. But it's showing us the reason why. It says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Now, we've blown it in many cases because we complain and argue because we're blending in with the generation. It's a problem. You know what I mean? We're supposed to be a light in the generation. We're supposed to be blameless and pure. So when we see the world fighting and splitting up and having a problem, we should be this light looking at them. It's not happening. We're participating. God let us know where arguing is driven by selfishness. That's where arguing comes from. It comes from selfishness. Look what it says in James 4, 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from desires that battle within you? Now, you may say, Pastor, you don't understand. I got in this conversation with this person and the stuff they were saying, right? And you'll go there. So the arguing happened because of how you felt. Desires that were within you, correct? And he said, they come from you. Now, remember, one big thing Jesus kept saying over and over again about us Christians is we must deny ourselves. Now, we hear that. We say, amen. It's just not being done today. It's just something that's gone. In fact, we are more into the me than, I know we like to talk about this generation now, call them the me generation. The me generation has been around since I've been born. I hate to say it. It's always been a me generation. We like to say God is doing something, but we don't allow him because we're saying, God, I'll allow you to do something as long as it's okay with me. And that's a major problem. So arguing comes from me. I don't care how wrong the other person may be. If there's an argument, it takes two people, at least two people, it's my fault. If we don't cleanse our values, our purpose will stay distorted. Now watch this, because this is a part that really, if you don't pay close attention to it, you'll miss what it's saying. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Let me stop there for a minute. So this is a complete clear command. What is a treasure on earth? Understand anything that only values down here, this temporary moment. I am not to store up anything. He says, do not. He didn't say try not to or have very little. He says, do not. Now, this is where we failed. We all have things that we truly value down here. If we're being honest, right? Remember I said, there are certain things that if we start talking about, it would hit you in a certain way. Now, that's fine. How you react to it is going to be if there's a problem or not. If I'm storing up these values for down here, despite what God says, I'm going to start arguing. Did y'all get this? Because it's something that bothers me, something that I don't like, something that I struggle with. And that's a problem. That's why he told me, Keith, do not store up anything of value down here where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What he let me know is whatever I treasure is going to be a part of my purpose, if you like it or not. And this is why, like I said, the church separated, because church is separated because we now got in our little cliques and our groups, which we saw when we do fruit, that how dangerous that is. We've want to worship God, but then we also grabbed our purposes, our values. Now, we all should be the same because our values should be heavenly, right? But our values are earthly. It could be with our kids, it could be with our situation, it could be with our politics, it could be with our race, it could be with our gender, it could be with our desires. It comes with every way. And we, instead of saying, wait, this is going to cause a separation, we go find like-minded people. And that's wrong. It should not happen. How do we deal with this, Pastor? Well, see, the Bible gives us this. Understand, first of all, keep this clear, because remember, it's not about you. If you are wronged, okay, if somebody does you wrong, give it to God to take care of, and he will take care of it. Now watch this first. Psalms 94:20-23. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you? One that brings on misery by its decrees? They band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord, our God, will destroy them. Everybody say will. So if somebody does harm me, okay, it's not my job to go into defense for me. My protection has to be God. I have to step back and go, okay, God's going to handle this. I have to. That's why even in Romans 12, it tells us do not take revenge at all. Okay, that's all up to God. Fully for God, okay? So I give that to him. Are there going to be people that are going to say and do some things that are going to harm? Absolutely, okay? But my job is not to retaliate, not to go after. My job is to, okay, that has to go to God. Now, in the church, we are supposed to be one. That oneness is not just some symbolism. It is, we're supposed to be one of the same mind. I put a lot of scripture there, and I'm sure you all will go read it, read each of them later, but I'm going to read through them first. Okay, I'm going to give you an idea of what each of them are saying. First of all, Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Romans 15:5-6 says, now may God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Very important. So that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. Very important. So not only the same mind, he doesn't want us to have the same mind. He doesn't want me to go out there and try to spread my mind or you to come try to spread your mind. He wants us to have the same mind, that of Christ. Did y'all catch that? 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another. Everybody say all. Who's that include? Everyone. All right. So all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. This is a command. He also shows in 1 Corinthians 12:25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Philippians 2:2 says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. These are commands. This is something the church is supposed to be doing. And then even more so, look what it says about marriage. And this is one of the things I always put with couples. Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's the only place in the Bible it says one flesh. Other places it says be one, but it's saying, you become one person. Do you understand that? It says so that they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God is doing together, let man not separate. How many of you ever disagree with yourself? Now, you may do some things that you disagree with, but you have to fix something, don't you? You can't split from yourself, can you? You have to fix something. So in married couples, when they have this and they say, well, agree to disagree, once again, wrong. It needs to be fixed. Now, understand this, and this is how our relationship with the world, because now we saw with Christians or in the church, there has to be a oneness. We'll talk about how to get together in that. But with the world, there are two things you have to understand. There are certain things that will happen in our lifetime with others that we are to overlook and allow. God made this clear. He showed it in Luke 6, 27 through 31. He says, but I tell you, hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him for taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. Key word, you. Do not ever make it about you. Does that make sense? In other words, in ministry, I'm ministering to you, okay? And my goal is to get you to come to Christ. But you do something to hurt me, do I go, you know what, I'm through with you because of me? What if Jesus did that? These people keep talking about me. I'm tired of this. They're not going to keep insulting me and doing this to me and all this with me. God, I'm going, hopefully they can deal with this because you hear the stuff they're saying about me, right? But we do that, right? The minute we're offended, the minute we're hurt, the minute we don't agree, we separate. That's a problem. However, there are certain things we are expected to speak up about. First of all, God says, he wants us to understand, God will judge those that treat the less fortunate wrong. Malachi 3:5 says, so I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those, watch this, who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. He makes that clear. So he's showing for those who do not have, who don't have the strength behind them, oh, he's going to come back. Now, twofold in this. We do it for defense of them and hopefully to minister to others. It also shows God hates when things are unfair and unbalanced. Proverbs 11:1 says the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. He says in Proverbs 20:10, differing weights and differing measure, the Lord detests them both. Proverbs 20:23, the Lord detests differing weights and dishonest scales, do not please him. Now, understand, even when he talks about it, on earth today, sometimes we use dishonest measures when we talk about honesty. Keep that in mind. Man tend to use his own measure to make things fit to his own desire. But God is just. So I'm saying for our own safety, when we're measuring things and calling something fair, what are we including? Are we including everything? Are we including things that just make it work out to yours? Like back in the olden days, when they wanted to cheat somebody out, they would, decalibrate the scales. So you'd put something on there, and next thing you know, you owed more. And you're like, but that can't be more than a pound, but the scale said it, so you'd get it. Now, they're defrauding. God is going to take care of those. But when we do that in any case, God says he detests those. And part of what makes a Christian is watching what he says and looking out for the less fortunate. James 1, verse 26 to 27 says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is what? Worthless. Okay? He's saying religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That kind of describes exactly what we are to do as Christians. It's part of us being a light and part of us being the salt. Very important for us to put things. So in a nutshell, all of this comes to say, which it says in Proverbs, with all said, we are commanded to speak for those that lack a voice. This is a Christian's responsibility. How do I know? Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. That is our responsibility as Christians. We must be the voice of those that cannot. Please be very careful not to get caught up in what I want, what I feel, how I see it. That's what's messed up the church, because we will fight for things that we believe in, but what I believe in, is that the right thing? Or am I fighting for godly things? Y'all catch this? All right. So now, how do we do this? The way to deal with sensitive issues. Here's the deal. The key you're going to notice with this, the way this is going to work, first of all, knowing we must do it. In order for the church to come back together or come together, we have to talk about these issues. I got to get let go of self. In order to do this, I got to do these three things. First of all, it must be done in real love. Everybody say real love. Because a lot of times we'll say we're doing it in love, and you're usually doing it with that emotional feeling you have inside that you label love. Not love. That weird thing that you feel, and you'll call it love. That's not love. I can't make that clear enough, because that has distorted and caused people to go in the wrong way. That is not love. That's desire, and it's not love. What is real love? Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. Love is, watch this, patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, big one, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now, if you take each piece of those and we had our conversations, you'd realize we wouldn't get in the arguments we get today, because we'd be more patient. We'd be more kind. Here's the deal. We'd approach each other with a, let me hear where you're coming from, and less of, let me tell you where I'm going. Does that make sense? It says not self-seeking, not easily angered. I think all of us have those things, those button pushing things in your lives that when somebody starts talking about you, you start feeling. Remember, what you feel is not what you are. Please understand. Now, what it doesn't mean is you don't talk about it or you leave it alone. No, it means I still got to approach it in the right way. So first of all, I got to make sure all these elements always exist in order for it to be love. Y'all with me? Everybody with me? All right. But then I got to use the godly elements to communicate must be applied. James 1, 19 through 20 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. He's saying, now I need you to monitor this when you're talking to one another. Everyone, everybody say everyone, should be, watch this, quick to listen. That's the first thing. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, quick to listen means exactly that. And quick to listen doesn't mean I'll let you talk first, but man, when I'm ready, I got stuff to say. No. Okay. Quick to listen means I really want to hear where you're coming from. At the moment, I feel like I totally disagree with you, but talk to me. Let me hear where you're coming from. There was a group, a school, and what they would do, they had a debate club. And you go to this debate club, and they give you all the topics, and you pick your topics, and you'd argue them, right? And you go through that. Once everything was done, the teacher would go to them and say, now, switch sides. People would go, wait, what's the problem? He said, I need you to switch sides. I want you to argue the other side. People, what? He said, I didn't ask you what you felt. You're in debate club. The class is debate. Now, what was brilliant about it is when the class was done, he said, now you know where they're coming from. Do you understand that? A lot of times, we don't take the time to hear where the other person is coming from. Most of the time, we don't take the time to hear where the person is coming from. Do y'all get this? There are Christians that have gone and visited criminals. And when we see them, we see the thing they did and how horrible they were. But when somebody sat down and talked to them where they were coming from, I'm not saying it's going to make them innocent, but to minister to them, I need to know where you're coming from. In fact, how can I let you know where you're going if I don't know where you're coming from? So quick to listen means I want to take the time to hear it. I want to go over what you're talking about. I'm going to ask questions because I want to know where you're coming from. Then the slow to speak means I'm going to not be as fast to put out what I think out there. That's one. Secondly, I'm going to be careful how I say it so there's no misunderstanding. So in that, I'm going to ask questions. You get what I mean when I say? I may give examples. I may give things to make sure there's no misunderstanding. I'm taking my time. And even as I'm speaking, I'm watching to see if you're becoming irritated, frustrated, whatever, and know when to stop. Slow to speak. And this other one is very important. Slow to become angry. Why? He says in verse 20, for man's anger does not. Everybody say does not. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. He's given us a complete answer. Now, I've seen people that have snapped out on somebody, walked out the room and gone, well, they hurt me now. Sounds good. God just already gave me the answer. He said, no, it didn't work. No, it looked like it worked. No, it did not work. How do you know that? It says man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. They might change, but they're not doing it in a godly way. Your anger never, ever fix it. Y'all get that? If you do it and I showed them where I'm coming from and I showed them, you know, I watch parents sometimes. I had one parent and they used to tell them, you need to show them that you're angry. Not necessarily. Your anger is not the thing that's going to do it. Do y'all understand this? Your anger is not the thing that's going to bring it. God said it. So we have these three elements: quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Now, putting these two together, the love and the elements of communication, carefully deal with the issue using these three simple rules. So these are the rules under these rules. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. We'll read it and then we'll go break it down. It says, do nothing. What does nothing include? Everything. All right. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of others. So this is how we deal. A very sensitive issue came up. Now we got to deal with it. First thing, make sure it's never, everybody say never, about you and how you see it. Did y'all catch that? Now, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying what you may see at that moment is wrong. I'm not saying that. It just can't be about that. And to be honest with you, the only time somebody is totally wrong is when they're totally going against the Word of God. Because He's the only way. Right? I've had my views on certain situations, and I might have a lot of people that agree with me on my views on certain situations, but unless it's coming from the Bible, a big part of it's wrong, if I like it or not. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? Same thing with yours. I've yet to hear anybody who's come. They come and they show me evidence and all this other stuff, and it's great, but if it's not fully based on God, it's wrong. So I have to approach it getting the me element out of it. I might have a complete answer on that topic, and I might think of it a certain way, but I can't end it there and say, let me tell you what I think. So it cannot be that. So that's the first thing. Make sure it's never about you and how you see it. Secondly, humbly consider others higher than yourselves. Do you know what that means? It literally means what I was saying in the communication thing. I got to hear what they're saying. There's a big chance I missed something. Do you get this? I'm not saying you're going to take on what they're saying. I fully got to pay attention to what they're saying. I counsel. I've been doing this for many years, and it blows my mind how many times when I get two people and I'll talk to the first person, and it's clear and everything's there, and I get the full understanding. Got it. Then when I talk to the other person, I'm like, wow, I didn't see this coming. It happens time after time after misunderstanding. Why? Because we didn't consider where both sides were coming from. So here I am in the middle, and I'm like, I have to consider. Me and my wife haven't argued in years because of this quality right here. Not saying we don't disagree with stuff. It's we both realize when we said or did something to make the other one hurt, we stop and realize, wait, the person's intent wasn't to hurt me. Let's understand. Do y'all get this? Nah, I'm not speaking to you. Nah, I'm not angry. No, it's just stop for a minute. So what did you mean? And we talk and we explain it and we get an understanding and we grow in it. But I have to humbly consider, wait, where are you coming from with this? Let me hear your full path of this. Now, does it totally mean you accept everything they say? No, that's where the third part comes in. It says, using input from all parts, come up with the most godly solution. That's why it says each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of others. Yours plays a part, but that's all it plays is a part. I tell husband and wives, you can't agree to disagree. That's the body saying, I'm going to still do it and not want to do it. You're harming yourself with something you're going to do. That's foolishness. You have to come to an agreement. I didn't say it will be desirable, but you have to come to an agreement. Same thing with us Christians. We have to come to an agreement. And that agreement can't be what I think, and that agreement can't be what you think. The only time that's right is when it's fully based on God. Not going to be comfortable. Not going to be desirable. Not always going to feel good. And not always going to leave with that good feeling, warm feeling inside. No, and you may have to revisit it again. Does everybody get it? But to not do anything is wrong. It's hard to watch that the church is so divided at the moment. And it should not be that way. We representing Christ should not be as separated as we are. So hopefully, at least in a small group in this room, we will recognize that. And at least among Christians, we will say, how can I now have a godly discussion to represent God to make sure there is no division in the body? Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Hopefully in your prayers too, you're praying for this situation, because it's one of those things that we allowed, and key word is allowed, Satan to come in and really separate us, and this should not be. So hopefully we take that time out to talk about that. People going on, pray for our leaders, pray for those who are less fortunate. Just pray. Talk to God. Let him know what's going on in your mind. Thank him for all that's going on. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the deacons after services. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as you should always do as an example to your children and along with your children, is pray continually. Amen? Prayer and meditation.